This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Colin Woodall. We'll talk about packers, we'll talk about a border reopening, and mandatory cool. Right now, Colin talks about the upcoming CattleCon 27 in Nashville.
You can get all the details and register at our website. That's ncba.org. We are going to have the largest trade show in the beef industry. We're going to have a private performance of the Grand Ole Opry there in the Ryman. But more importantly, it's also where we do the business of the association. Members coming in and making it very clear what they think and what NCBA needs to stand for. And that is the real foundation of the grassroots model that NCBA is built on. So we ask everybody to come on out to Nashville in February 2027 and join us for CattleCon.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Colin Woodall. Colin is CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He's headquartered in Denver. Colin, great to see you.
It is always great to be with you, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. I think one of the hot topics right now has been the announcement by another packer to close some packing facilities, maybe look for a sale of another one. We're seeing a reduction here in packer capacity, if you will. What are your thoughts about Tyson's latest announcement?
We're not thrilled with their announcement because it does put cattle producers in the Midwest and on the Eastern Seaboard in a really tenuous situation of losing yet another packer, especially on the heels of JBS shutting down their Stoddarton facility. But at the same time, we have known for several months, almost to the point of about 2 years, that we had excess packing capacity, that the packers were losing money. And there's a point that the economics just don't justify the ability to keep running these plants. So we were not surprised to see the decision to close the Joslyn, Illinois facility and to put the facility in Pasco, Washington up for sale. Again, not happy, but at the same time, not surprised.
You look at where the majority of the fed beef cattle are, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems to be west of the Mississippi and east of the Continental Divide. And if that's the case, kind of makes sense geographically. If that's where they are, that's where you'd have them. Again, not ideal that we're losing some here, but geographically, am I right?
Historically, yes, you are right. Most of those cattle are going to be west of the Mississippi. But what we have seen here over the past several years is a return of cattle feeding to the Midwest. When you look at several of the barns that have popped up throughout Illinois, Iowa in particular, there has been a resurgence of cattle feeding, and they need to be able to have a market, a competitive market, to be able to process those cattle. And unfortunately, Joslyn was one of those go-to plants. So if you are feeding cattle in Jones County, Iowa right now, you are sure wondering about what your options are going to be. And if you have to start paying more freight, what does that mean for your bottom line? So this is truly a significant issue for a lot of NCBA's membership out there. And that's why we're not pleased with the decision. But again, it is really hard to throw rocks at Tyson when we know that excess capacity is there, and there may be more plants that shut down here over the next several months if we can't grow the herd.
We're talking with the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. It's Colin Woodall. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Colin Woodall. Colin is CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, headquartered in Denver. Actually, in Centennial, but the Denver area. Okay, Colin, we've been talking about processing and the announcement by Tyson to close a plant and to have one up for sale. We've been seeing this trend over time now with the cuts, if you will, in processing capacity. But could this actually be an entrepreneurial opportunity for communities to have smaller processing?
So if there is a silver lining to this discussion, that's it. You go back and you look at the effort that was started under the Biden administration and one that Secretary Rollins has continued, which is providing financial support investment in small and regional packers to be able to allow them to either expand or start up new operations. A lot of people looked at that, especially at the point in the cycle we were in with this excess packing capacity, thinking that that might be a really bad idea. But with the closure of these plants, it does provide an opportunity for some of these newer plants or these plants that are expanding, these regional plants, to be able to capture even more customers. So we are hoping that we see some of that and that it definitely helps these plants, especially some of the new ones that have been built, be more successful.
August 24th, that's the date of reopening the Mexican border for Mexican feeders. And what we're talking about here are steers. That's the only thing coming across. Really, it's been, I guess, the only thing that had been coming across prior to the closing. But August 24th, USDA has announced the reopening of the border in Douglas, Arizona. What are your thoughts on this?
So we are very pleased that the Secretary made the decision to reopen the border. It is something that we have been asking for. When you look at NCBA members in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, a lot of them have built their business models around bringing these cattle in from Mexico. So it's not just about Mexican producers. This is about U.S. producers who have been hit hard by that closure. Now, we were supportive of the Secretary's decision to close the border down because that's what it was going to take to get the Mexican government's attention to do more in combating New World Screwworm. And they did that. They stepped up. But once New World Screwworm made it into Texas, then that fear of trying to keep it away and never have to worry about it was gone. At that point in time, we knew we had to start looking at reopening that border to provide some relief for the U.S. side to be able to bring those cattle in and help our producers. We are very supportive of the protocol that's been put in place. It's a multi-stage protocol. And at this point in time, I would be more concerned about New World Screwworm coming in from wildlife than any of these livestock that will be teed up to start crossing come the 24th there in Arizona. And also, she made a very good decision to start in one port, to be able to pressure test the system, and then to be able to open ports further east as we know more. And we're very supportive of that. So, again, we are happy with the decision and look forward to seeing how that can help our members be able to heal up from some of the losses they've received.
We're talking with the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Colin Woodall. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you.
You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Colin Woodall. Colin is CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Colin, earlier we kind of touched on some of this, but let's dig a little deeper. This is an issue that's been going on for at least 20 years or so, and I think it does kind of tie into the border reopening, but it also ties into imported beef, and it's tied into the farm bill. We're talking about COOL, country of origin labeling, or mandatory COOL, MCOOL. What are your thoughts?
So mandatory COOL is back, and it is one of those issues that has been very divisive within the cattle industry for decades. About 25 years worth of time being spent on this issue. It did pop up recently in the Senate Ag Committee's discussion of their version of the Farm Bill. This was a priority for Senator Thune, who is the majority leader. And what he would like to see is USDA create a WTO-compliant mandatory country of origin labeling program. The only problem is that doesn't exist. That is something that the Obama administration with Secretary Vilsack worked really hard to figure out how can they make mandatory COOL WTO compliant in order to escape from the retaliation that both Canada and Mexico can levy upon us if we move forward with that. They never found it. The reason why they never found it is because the key part of that is mandatory. But here we are looking at that again, and it's a concern to us. One, because we now have a voluntary product of the USA label that is in place. It's something that Secretary Rollins finalized, and we are seeing the adoption of that, the utilization of that grow. But it's voluntary, and that allows these individual retailers to create the labels they need in order to be able to capture the consumer's attention. If you have a mandatory program, you're going to get what you expect from a government label. And that is black and white type. There are no flags. There's no red, white, and blue. There are no stars and stripes. It is black and white. What we saw when COOL was law of the land for 6 years. So it doesn't really reach out and grab the consumer. On top of that, we're talking about going back to a law that exempted almost half of the beef that's out there for sale. So food service, restaurants, hotels, processed products, they were all exempted from COOL. So we don't know how returning here, threatening our trade relationships and not really being completely open with the consumer has any value. But unfortunately, here we are once again talking about mandatory COOL.
All right. And I told you I was going to ask Farm Bill, and we've already stepped off into that. Any other thoughts?
So G.T. Thompson, the chairman of the House Ag Committee, worked really hard. Matter of fact, it was kind of a Herculean task for him to get his version of the Farm Bill both out of committee and then out of the House of Representatives. So we have been waiting for the U.S. Senate to pick up their version. That's what Senator Bozeman did the end of August, about the middle of August, rather, excuse me. And it's right before they left for their August recess. And he tried. Unfortunately, the mandatory country of origin labeling amendment was included, but at the end of their markup, when they went to a vote, the vote failed. So we don't know what the future is. We don't know what's going to happen. Here we are as agriculture, not just the cattle industry, but all of us in agriculture, working on farm policy that was originally put in place in the 2018 bill. Lots changed in agriculture since then. We all need a new farm bill. We all need the new plan, the roadmap But unfortunately, I'm not so sure we're going to see that. But we won't know until they get back after their August recess, which will be after Labor Day in September.
Colin, great to see you. Colin Woodall is CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Colin Woodall, CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Right now, when you look at kind of where things are trending, I think the Democrats have a very strong opportunity to retake the House of Representatives. I still believe the Senate is a bit of a coin toss. But if the Democrats do take that and we have a split Congress or a Democrat Congress versus a Republican White House, that means there's going to be a lot of gridlock. And when you have gridlock, it's hard to do things like finishing a farm bill or taking care of any national priority. And also the new leadership that we might see in both things like the House and Senate Ag Committee would have an impact on a lot of the topics that NCBA has been working on. But we also have to keep in mind that in today's political world, a 5-second soundbite can absolutely crater a campaign. So if you keep that in mind, it's still a lifetime between now and November 3rd. So anything, it could happen, but everybody needs to be prepared. More importantly, everybody needs to.
It's the Agribusiness Report.